The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International. Episode 17 of Comics League International. Returning today to chat with me is Rodney.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Wow, number 17. That's pretty impressive.
I know, right? Like, I mean, you know, a lot of the podcasts that I do listen to, there's stuff that have been around so long, like 500, 700 almost episodes for comic stuff. Like, people have been doing this for almost a decade. So it makes me feel kind of bad, but then I think, like, actually, 17, I mean, that's over 4 months, you know, for a weekly show with really no experience. It's not so bad.
So the moral of the story, subscribe. We're going to be bringing out more of these.
please subscribe. Go to my Facebook page, like to that, you know, just enter Comics League International in Facebook. It should show up. And tell me, I don't know, what would you like to hear us talk about? Because, well, some guy, I don't know who he is, he might be the guy on the Skype with me, said, you know what you should talk about?
Ninja Turtles.
Yes, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Which, oh man, like, I think Rodney, you're a few years younger than me.
I think I'm the same age as you,
same
actually.
Same age? Okay, I'm 33.
Yep, same
age.
Good vintage.
So you're another child of the 80s.
Yes, that's true.
Well, here's a question for you, because, you know, I'm from the States and you're from South Africa.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I forget, I should have looked it up, when the animated series came out in the States. Maybe I can use the powers of Wikipedia while we talk this, but you know, as far as I can remember, from being a young kid, I mean, the Ninja Turtles were just what was happening. Like, that was what you were looking for. When did you first,
I think we were,
did you
yeah,
come
we were
to South Africa?
I think it would have been about the same time. It's interesting because I started watching the, what's it, the 2003, Nickelodeon one. This is what I should have written down before. One of the new animated series I started watching, and because of that, I've been reading up on the old stuff. And it was the first series of the animation that was on TV, on public TV in South Africa.
Was the 2003 one?
No, the 1990s.
through the powers of Wikipedia, the 1987 animated series, which ran for 10 seasons.
Nice. That's the one.
Yeah, and it
was a half shell turtle power.
Teenage Mutant Ninja. And I remember as a kid, like, I can't even it might have even come on like two episodes a week for a little while, like once it got to the syndication point. But that was what I did on Saturday mornings, was watch the Ninja Turtles. And I remember even at a point, like, the parents, we had to go somewhere in a car, and they even, like, because I was probably being such a little monster about, like, Ninja Turtles, what are you doing? This is my life! they even like found a local radio station or something that actually played television on the air.
Wow.
But, like, I have no idea, and I've never seen heard it any other time, but they were able to tune into like an AM station that might have been the local station, but it was doing just the audio of Ninja Turtles. And it was how they got me to like basically be quiet in the car that day.
Sorry, I said it was on public TV, but it wasn't on public TV. In South Africa, we had have a channel called Mnet, which was basically you have to buy a subscription and you get a decoder.
Yeah.
And it gives you, I think it was at that stage, it was just an extra channel, or there might have been two channels, but.
So kind of like cable TV in the States.
Pretty much, yeah. And so I think it was also on weekends or something like that. I can't remember, but yeah, we watched it, and you know, we didn't have all the toys, but we were trying to get all the toys.
Have you seen I know they have them here in Japan. I guess they have them in other parts of the world as well. They've actually been re-releasing the original molds.
I saw that.
Did you have to, like, hold, like, resist the buying lust?
When I was a kid, I really wanted Master Splinter. And I saw him at the store, at the Toys R Us here in Japan. And I was like, I really wanted this. He didn't look as cool as I remembered him.
Yeah.
But like all the other turtles and stuff, man. I had Raphael, and my brother had Donatello, because my name's Rodney and his name's Donovan, so R&D. That's
awesome.
How it
is. Awesome. Now, yeah, because I remember I had almost all the hero figures as a kid, I think. Like, I even had, like, the Usagi Yojimbo figure before I knew, like, how awesome that comic was. You know, it's just like, hey, it's a rabbit guy who was on an episode. I had, like, the Casey Jones. I don't know if my parents ever got me any of the bad guy figures. I don't know if they just, like, the Shredders or the generic foot soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, as we sit and talk. Oh, here's a question for you. In South Africa, because I know in the UK, because, like, I don't know, Margaret Thatcher didn't like ninjas, basically, is how I'm just going to sum up that whole thing. It was the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. How about South Africa?
I was trying to think about it. I think it is. I think at a stage there was a change, because Michelangelo didn't have his nunchucks. Mm-hmm. He had, like, a grappling hook for a while.
They did that on the cartoon too for a while, I remember.
That was on the cartoon, and I can't remember if they changed it to Hero Turtles or not, but I feel like that's something that might have happened. Yeah. I know, like, it was a big thing amongst, like, my friends and stuff. What happened to Michelangelo's nunchucks? Like, that's what he uses now. He's using a grappling hook. Why?
Strangely enough, like, I don't know, with my friends, we never really... I'm not even sure if we, like, noticed the big change between him using the turtle grappling hook more, or if we're like, oh, yeah, he just has that around, but he still uses the nunchucks. We knew he did. But, like, I remember when movie 2 came out, there was that feeling of, like, I don't know. I mean, even, you know... Well, let's be honest. We were of an age where the Vanilla Ice cameo was amazing. It did not make the movie suck. It made it awesome. Ninja rap, I believe. Yeah. Oh, no, it was Go Ninja, Go. Which was awesome. And anyone who really was a little kid in that time, if they said it wasn't, they're just full of hate. Nowadays, we can hate it, but at the time. But I remember it was just like, you could tell there was a conscious decision to not let the Ninja Turtles be awesome. It was like, oh, they're going to fight with, like, Play-Doh and Link sausages. And it was just like, what?
I actually watched that recently. I was like, yeah, that was one of the reasons why I keep playing with my food. Throwing sausages around the house.
And then but- the the parents ride in and say, let's actually go back to ninja weaponry. Our kids are beating each other up with kibasa.
So, like, the whole thing with that, with the nunchucks going away, wasn't that because they were seen as too violent? So, like, Raphael keeps his size, which are pointy, stabby things. Leonardo keeps his katanas, which are slicey, cutty things. And nunchucks are too violent.
I wonder if it's because, like, I mean, I don't, you know, the Donatello bow staff kind of throws this into a weird territory, but, like, if you're a little kid, you can't really make, I mean, you could always use sticks, but you can't really make, like, size. You can't really make a katana. But, hey, check it out. I've got, you know, two pieces of wood and a small rope and some, like, electrical tape. And you could, you know, effectively make nunchucks.
I see your point. That's a good point.
And maybe, I don't know, and then really thinking about it, maybe it was just one of those things that the kids playing with the nunchucks, maybe it was less a health issue or a safety issue of them hitting other people, but look, I'm swinging around these sticks on ropes. Whap! Oh, my head!
My eye!
It's over there! Go pick it up!
But it's interesting as well, like, I think the whole Ninja Turtles thing kind of started the whole ninja craze. I don't know, well, at least for me, but I don't know. How was it for you? Did you also sort of get into ninjas because of the Ninja Turtles?
Oh, geez. Let's see. I would have been 6 at the time. So I can't say for sure, but I can definitely say if it weren't for the Ninja Turtles, you know, they would not have been as popular. You know, I mean, they may have found a way in from other materials or other just cool ninja stuff. Because, I mean, you know, well, I mean, some of the influences of the Ninja Turtles were stuff that were already making ninjas awesome. Even if they were probably a little older than, like, what I would have been reading at the time. I mean, Daredevil.
Yeah.
Speaking of which. We are talking about Ninja Turtles. And together we read IDW has been releasing the color classics of a lot of the original Eastman and Laird Ninja Turtles. You know, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird are the creators and the writer-artist of the original Ninja Turtles, and they've done a lot of stuff for the Turtles. And what we're reading, we're basically hopping around those first 21 issues of the Mirage series because we're mostly, I think it's safe to say, we're reading the stuff that either follows the first movie or that deals with, like, the Foot Clan and Shredder for the most part, leaving out some of the more cosmic space things. So if you want to know exactly what issues we read, you know, sorry, I don't have the Mirage numbering, just the Color Classics numbering. It would be number 1, and that is the first Ninja Turtles issue. Then the micro series issues for Raphael and Leonardo, and then issues 10 and 11 of the Color Classics Volume 1, and then issues 5, 6, and 7 of the Volume 2 Color Classics, and I believe those are issues 19, 20, and 21 of the original Mirage series.
Okay.
So, and maybe 10 and 11 are 10 and 11 of the original Mirage. But basically, it's one of those first 21 issues and deals with Shredder and such like that, we're reading it.
Cool.
Just to give the audience that kind of background.
Yeah.
Did you catch the Daredevil references in issue 1?
Yes, I did. That was cool.
So this means this is the second episode in a row where basically you're reading a Daredevil story.
Yeah. It's kind of cool that we've got to talk about Daredevil in our last one. it's all related. It's all linked.
It is. I mean, looking back on it, like, the only real downside maybe from that Daredevil series, not enough ninja. I mean, I really, like, looking back at that first color, basically the first issue of Ninja Turtles, I was really, really impressed with it. You know, I mean, yeah. It's, the art style is totally different in a way from what would really come later, but, and it's, yeah, you could make the argument, I think, that, like, the turtles themselves don't really have unique personalities or anything, but it's still just for a one-shot type thing, which is what was all it was supposed to be. I read, it's awesome. The character design, the look of Shredder, I mean, that's an awesome design.
I think it's really interesting as well. Like, I don't know. So, for you, did you first go to these comics, or was it first the animated series for you?
It was probably first the animated series. Yeah, like, I don't even think, you know, for a six, 7 year old, however, you know, I don't even think these comics were that widely available to me. The only time I remember seeing these comics really as a kid was, you know, because this is probably too violent for, like, for a first grader, maybe, was actually at a Toys R Us. Okay. And when we went to go pick up some Ninja Turtle action figures, probably, they actually had, it might have been like volume 2 of one of the trade paperbacks of these comics. Because I remember looking at it, and the art was nothing like the Archie version of the characters, which are really strongly influenced by, you know, the design of the TV show.
Yes.
And seeing that, and I remember being like just staring at it and like flipping through it. And I can't remember if it was, you know, my parents didn't want to spend the money. It was like, you could either get that or the action figures, or if it was just the fact that it was volume 2. And even at that time, I was kind of like, well, I'd want to start with volume 1. I don't see the point of. But I remember, like, seeing the crazy Triceratops aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that, and just my mind being like, what? And we ended up not getting it, but that was, for years, that was the only time I actually saw these comics. I didn't get a chance to read these, really, until college, when a friend who lived in that town, who was a big comics fan, was like, oh, well, here, read basically those same trade paperbacks of the Ninja Turtles.
That's cool.
How about you? When did you first read these comics?
Probably at the same time as you, because my brother has quite a collection of comics, and one of the things he picked up was the Ninja Turtles stuff, and I read it, not the color classics, but the original black and white, and I was sort of like, wow, this is so different from
what we. And you, so you read these as a kid?
No, in college as well, in university. And I was like, wow, this is awesome, but it's so different. And I think the thing that shocked me at first was, like, it's so the design and everything is so much, almost, I don't want to say simpler, but or rougher, but
yeah,
and it was cool.
No, I think that's a great way to describe it. Is it is rougher? Everything has this, like, almost. I mean, you can tell. One good thing about the color comics that we're reading, the reprints, is you can see how they're trying to maintain that type of, like, gray shade, where everything does kind of look a little dirty.
It almost makes it darker as well, which I think is kind of cool, because unlike the animated series, there's blood, and there's, you know, these guys are ninjas who are out to kill. They're not ninjas who are out to, you know, beat up the Shredder.
I mean, the first issue involves the turtles. Well, you could argue whether or not they kill the Shredder. They do give him the chance to commit seppuku, which would be him killing himself. But he gets knocked off the building. Spoilers for anyone who didn't know Shredder dies. With a thermite grenade. Which, yeah, he goes bang. The Shredder has been shredded. Yeah. But it's, I don't know, it's an impressive little piece of storytelling, just that one issue.
Yeah, I like it. I think, as you know, if they'd never done anything else, like, it would have been a shame, but this was, almost want to say this is the pinnacle of it in a way, like, everything that comes after.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, did they actually know they were going to be doing more comics, kind of?
Oh, no, they couldn't have, because, I mean, otherwise, why would you have wasted the Shredder on one issue?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, here's one thing that, I mean, as a kid, I don't even think I knew the name of Hamato Yoshi's wife.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing, like, as an adult and living in Japan in a while, that still kind of makes me go, is the wife of the ninja who trained Splinter, at least in this version. There's so many different origin stories. But the wife's name always seems the same, which is, her name is Tang Shen.
Yes.
Which, I don't know, like, this is probably just me being a whiny whiner guy. It's not a Japanese name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it's even, like, it may sound more Chinese, but it might not even be a Chinese name at all. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no. It sounds Chinese. In other versions of this story that I've read in, like, either other comics kind of relating the same thing, they still maintain that name, which is kind of like, I don't know. I almost wish they'd do something with it, like, kind of, you know, hang a lampshade on it, be like, yes, Tang Shen, who was from China, who blah 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 blah, and kind of explain, like, you know, I don't know, use the war, use the occupation, use something to explain, so it's not just like, we wrote this in the 80s and we really didn't know the difference between Japanese people and Chinese people. We thought, hey, they're all dark-haired, right? Let's just throw them together. Which is kind of how, like, it comes off.
There's no Wikipedia for them to choose.
Exactly. You know, and I don't want to sound like I'm, like, trying to, like, label this as culturally insensitive, because, you know, it's of an age, but now it's kind of like,
I think in one of the later comics that we read, like, was it? No. It was in the animated series. I was watching the other day. And Splinter goes into his room, right? And he's got this hanging scroll down the side of his wall. And on the scroll, it says, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, if I didn't know any Japanese, I would have been like, oh, you know, that's cool Japanese writing. And it's just like, you know, the days of the week written on a poster. As you do, you know, just to remind you. It's not even a calendar. It's just like, it's fine.
It's kind of like when, if reading just other comics from around the same time, even like the big publishers, you know, like, God bless those X-Men in Japan issues. But you look at the buildings and stuff they're using, and it is generic Asian writing. Yes, that is what we're doing. Uh-huh. Yeah, just put some sharp lines in there that cross each other every now and then. That's obviously, you know, and it does kind of, like, I don't know, makes you go, But it's go ahead.
Sorry, speaking of that as well, like, I've just been reading The New Avengers by Bendis, and in one of the issues, they go to Japan, and there's Stark Tower, and it says Stark Tower, and then in Japanese, Starku, you know. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, I think in some ways, people have definitely come to include more of the other markets and kind of understand, like,
yeah,
let's try and do this realistically and authentically. Yeah.
I mean, of course, like I said, it's when it's Japanese, it really stands out to me. So, you know, I mean, maybe it's the same way when people use other languages as well. But just seeing that, where they do kind of, you know, we're putting this in another country. Why don't we try and at least make some effort to represent that country in a way that isn't just completely wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, you know, ninjas, so.
On that as well, like, one of the things that I liked about this comic, which maybe I missed in the animated series, the one of the newer ones, they talk about why the Shredder goes to New York, and that was kind of, it's a really small thing, but it was very helpful to me, because I'm like, why are there ninjas in New York?
what was it again?
Basically, he goes, Shredder goes to be the head of the Foot in New York or something like that. Hold on,
the drug smuggling, the arms running.
Sucky moved quickly. Within a year, he had built the New York Foot into a force to be reckoned with.
It's really good that they kind of give that explanation, and one of the comics in this run, if I had to choose one particular comic that I would say this is my favorite of these, it would be the Leonardo micro series issue.
Oh yeah,
I just think that's so fabulous, because in that one, you know, it's each page is, you know, you have a lot of panels on each page. Like, in this right now, I'm just looking at one particular page, and it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And the final panel goes the whole width of the page, probably about, you know, a fourth or a fifth of the length of the page. And the whole top, I'm just going to say thirds because it makes it easier to talk about. The top two-thirds deal with Leonardo going through the city, being attacked by the Foot Clan. And the bottom third of the page is just the other turtles and Splinter and April preparing for Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And so as you have just this brutal, very well choreographed, just great fight sequence going on, you have the other turtles like cooking dinner and trimming the tree and just almost like silliness going on, and you kind of get the, like, by this point the turtles are starting to have a bit more personalities, but it's the contrast between those two segments, I think, is just fantastic.
I think personalities are really starting to come out, like, but not for all of them. Like, I think Donatello and April O'Neil, like, they sort of have a thing going. I don't know, where he sort of has a crush on her or something that develops. And it's kind of, I was wondering if it sort of starts here. It's like, oh, they're, you know, they're getting along well here. And then Leonardo is like the serious serious about training. He's out there. He's gone for his morning practice run kind of thing, which ends up being this huge battle through the streets of New York. And but like Michelangelo and Raphael, I don't think you really get to see their personalities so much in this one. But I agree with you. This is a good comic.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I was actually almost kind of thinking, like, if we look at the turtles in just their archetypes, you know, we get to see Raphael being kind of a little bit angry when he's trimming the tree and is, I will trim it with butterfly swords.
Oh, right.
And I think, you know, we get to see Michelangelo being, I think that's Mike. Well, yeah, of course, one of the problems with this generation of the turtles is, you know, they all wear the red masks.
Yeah.
They all look like anthropomorphic turtles. So it's from one panel to the next. You know, it really is hard to know who is who.
Yeah.
So when, especially when you see a turtle, I don't know, with mask, with no mask, like, who is April singing the Christmas Carol with? Is that Donatello? Is that Michelangelo? I can't really tell.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you know why they maintained the red masks in this color classics?
I think it's just the fact that this was, is that's how they had it at the time.
Okay.
And so I think they maintained the red masks just to kind of pay honor to that era. Like,
okay,
throughout the Mirage run, I think they always all had the same color masks.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite issue of these?
Let's see. I liked all of it because of the stuff I'm watching at the moment. But I really need to tell you which series I'm watching. It's the, I'm trying to remember now, but it's the, not the the newest animated series. It's the second newest one. Which basically follows these comics quite closely. Do you know? Should I ask you about Wikipedia?
I'm trying to look on Wikipedia to see, because I know there was a 2003 series.
I think it's
that ran for several series, and that was the one that was right before the 2012.
Who was that one by again?
The 2003.
Yeah.
That one was by, it was a Fox show.
Okay.
Kind of a combined between, like, apparently Mirage and 4Kids Entertainment.
That's
let's see. Cause yeah, you, so I think you sent me the link, the like it had what, the Big Brawl episode in season 3?
Okay, sounds right. So yeah, that animated series follows these comics very closely, and like, spoiler, but when you see that dinosaur come out when Raphael's like, I brought a friend or something like that.
Yes.
So it goes into like how the Triceratops.
How dare you confuse them, sir? What is the king of the dinosaurs? Not a measly three-horned fool.
I just loved seeing him because he's like so alien in, so much more alien actually in the comic series than in the animated one. And he just looks awesome with his like purple body. And he has the purple body and the orange.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this sort of like red triangles on his skin. I was just like, whoa, that's cool. I don't know. So for me, all of it was kind of like going back, seeing the origins of it, and sometimes getting a better idea of things. And I don't know. It's cool that they've taken that story and they've maintained it a bit. You know.
Yeah. Like I've been watching the 2012 series, which is done through Nickelodeon, and I've been really enjoying it as well. It's another just good version where, to me, it sits in a happy place that kind of bridges the gaps between this comic and, in a way, the you know, the animated series that we grew up with, where it's, you know, not trying to choose sides. In a way, it's trying to like make fans of both happy, but it does it in a really smart, clever way. And the voice acting has been wonderful, and just usually at least a couple times an episode, I can't stop myself from just giggling at some of the lines and just situations of it.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to choose one, but I think the Leonardo one is really good. I think the Raphael one kind of sets up a lot of the... is it? No. The... Which one was this one? Where's the number? Number 11? When they're fighting in April O'Neil's
in the apartment fight?
Yeah, the apartment.
Yeah, number 10.
Oh, okay. And they move below and then they crash through the antiques place, and I don't know,
it's a great issue.
Yeah. And there's some cool stuff going on, but I don't know. It's hot. I like what I really liked about the Leonardo one as well. Sorry to go back to it again, there's like the one frame, you see Leonardo and he's in the city and he's surrounded by these buildings covered in snow, and it's just such a beautiful picture.
It's got like, I don't know what it is, but as an adult, I've never really thought of turtles as being a great example of good art for some reason.
Yeah.
As a kid, I loved it, but somehow as an adult, I'm like, you know, it was what it was. But looking through this, you know, the amount of detail and just composition and storytelling is surprisingly good.
Yeah.
You know, and of course... Yeah, no, that's a great panel, that opening panel.
So yeah, you kind of see him, and he's got all these sort of footprints behind him as he's sort of running across the top of one of these buildings. Obviously, there's no one about, but you can see lights on in the buildings and things like that. Yeah. And he's sort of alone on the rooftops, and the city just sort of sprawling before him. Mm-hmm. And the next one is, I think it's Michelangelo. He's like, Leo, is that you? And then... turns out to be someone else. It's April and probably Donatello or Raphael bringing in the tree or something. But while this is all going on, Leonardo's already started fighting foot soldiers who jump out of the snow at him. And yeah, it's cool.
It's so good. I mean, reading through this, it really makes me want to rewatch that original movie.
Yeah.
You know? Now the only thing about this set of issues, I don't want to say it's bad, because it does kind of feel fulfilling the way it's handled, but the kind of in the Return to New York series, the issue kind of with Triceratops Man, who probably has a better, more real name. Like, it's cool to see that issue, but
I can't remember his name, but it's something very alien.
Yeah, yeah. Like
Volrag, or I don't know.
But that issue right in the middle of it, it just really kind of throws everything off for me. I mean, I know this ties into the issues that we didn't read, and so it probably felt a bit more natural if you read everything that was coming out, but it's just the pacing of it, and suddenly having like the turtles tracking down Shredder and rescuing everyone and being a team and coming together, but the main force of progress in that issue being Triceratops Man. I don't know, it just kind of throws a weird little bubble into the IV line of turtles. But that's just me. I don't know.
No, I think you've got a point. Like, overall, like, the thing that I didn't like about the series was, like, sort of a feeling that they didn't know what was going on. Yeah. In a sense, like, we watched the animated series, so we have our favorite turtle, and each turtle has his personality, but you read these and that personality is starting to come out, but it's still not developed yet, and the whole red mask thing, I really like that they all have red masks, but it's really difficult to keep up with. Okay, this is Leonardo, this is Raphael, especially if, say, Raphael decides to pick up a pair of nunchucks or something, nunchucks.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And one of the other reasons I decided we should read these issues is because, I mean, not all of the issues in this run of the of Here Between 21 or Color Classics number 7 are done by Eastman and Laird. And I don't want to say it has to be Eastman and Laird to be good, because even sometimes what they do isn't always good. But there is such a wide variety of quality in this series. Like, some of the issues just before the return to New York, like flipping through them, reading through them, they're pretty, pretty bad. Like, that one of the Ninja Turtles fights hillbillies in New York area, and it's like, what am I reading? This is awful. And some of the ones kind of, of course, we did miss the Mouser story, which introduced April, and that's a good story.
Okay.
Baxter Stockman. But then some of the ones after those, it's just, wow. So these, I kind of think, are kind of highlights of the good sides of the Ninja Turtles, and even those, like, personality-wise and telling who's who, do have their issues.
Yeah.
Did you... Also,
obviously, the new Ninja Turtles movie that's already released in the States and South Africa and about probably everywhere else in the world came out in Japan this weekend, I think, on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been saying to people, oh, I really want to go watch the Ninja Turtles. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, you don't go watch the Ninja Turtles because you think it's going to be a good movie. And you go because it's the Ninja Turtles. And it's the same with this, it's like, for me, I enjoyed just, hey, it's Ninja Turtles. But, like, would I recommend this book over some of the other comics I've read? I don't know. I don't think so. I just say, if you like Ninja Turtles, you should read this.
I think that's the perfect way to
think about it is, if someone already likes Ninja Turtles and is a fan of the Ninja Turtles and wants to read this book, I would say, heck yeah, you should.
Yeah.
If they aren't really sure about Ninja Turtles, honestly, I think the, IDW is the company that is putting out this reprint, And they also have a their own Ninja Turtles comic that they've been putting out for the past couple of years now. Maybe also since 2010 or 2012. And that's been really good. So if someone wasn't sure if they liked Ninja Turtles and kind of like, oh, I remember the cartoons, or, oh, yeah, I'm not against reading it, I would almost want to say start with some of those later versions, get an appreciation for it, and then check out the origins with people who were kind of, you know, doing the best they could, I believe, but we're still learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were some knockoffs as well of this original comic as well, I think.
Yeah, like you remember like those mutated
adolescent
hamsters?
Radioactive black belt hamsters.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably other things. Oh, yeah, it says here on Wikipedia, an official spoof of the Ninja Turtles.
I mean, at this stage, I kind of hear like an unofficial spoof of the Ninja Turtles. And I think like money grab.
Yeah.
You know, God bless like any good stuff, bad stuff about the Ninja Turtles. Marketing wise, whoever stepped up and said like, I will lead you to the promised land of milk and honey for the Ninja Turtles. Wow, whoever did that knew what they were doing. I guess one other last thing I kind of wanted to really bring up about just the comics in general is, you know, like we've said, their personality-wise and character development may not always be the strongest, but I do think composition-wise and art-wise and just the fight choreography is really strong. It made me think of manga.
Okay.
The way, like, I mean, each of these issues is almost, you know, 35 pages, so it's practically a double issue, and a lot of that goes into really quick fight scenes.
Okay.
And I don't know, it did just make me think of more of, say, opposed to, you know, an Avengers issue of the time, which is like stock poses of people punching a lot of times.
Yeah.
It made me think of almost Dragon Ball and such like that, where there are a bit more intricate fight choreographies in the art.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking too much.
That's cool. I don't really read anime stuff or manga, so I'm kind of... I know I live in Japan and probably should read those kind of things, but apart from like Naruto, I haven't really gotten very far into it, you know, so. But yeah, I think like, especially if you're going to do ninjas and stuff, I think the fight scenes become so important, and I think they did that quite well. And I think the other thing is, over time, their style definitely gets more solid, and yeah, good. It's good stuff. Go read it. If you haven't read it, reread it.
But if you... Yeah, if you're on the fence of are Ninja Turtles worth it, there's probably easier gateway stuff to get into. Unless you're just really curious of what these comics look like.
And at the same time, I think if you just buy the first issue, you're not... it's a good issue to buy, you know. Some comics, you know, if the first one doesn't grab you, it's not gonna grab you. But the first one is a good example of what's going on, and it does get better. It's not the best one maybe, but it's a good comic to have, I think. And also you get the origin story, which, you know, that's always nice to have. So
that is a good point. Like, I think you said it perfectly. If someone just wants to read Ninja Turtles, you can, you know, buy the first issue, and it's probably available digitally in a lot of places.
Yeah.
You know, and it'd be worth a couple of bucks, I think, to just get that first issue, read it, enjoy it, and then kind of see what's going on. Whether or not I could tell someone to just, oh, yeah, go pick up a, you know, they have trade editions of the first 10 issues of Ninja Turtles, like, that might be like, well, because of such the variance of quality, is that really the best bet? Might depend on how much of a fan you are going into it.
Yeah.
If your room is decorated in nothing but Ninja Turtles posters, then hell yeah! But...
exactly.
If you just kind of want to see what all the fuss is about, start small.
Yeah.
So, Rodney, yes. Where can people find you on the internets?
RisingPhoenixGames.com, and I do a lot of RPG stuff, and you can find my stuff on DriveThruRPG as well, if you search Rising Phoenix Games.
So that's Rising Phoenix Games, and yeah, check out his stuff. I've been looking through some of it, probably not as much as I should, but it's fun.
Cool.
And if you want to find more from me, then go to deadlytroubadour.com. That's where I post comic reviews. That's where I post my little short stories and writings. Also, if you are interested in Japan, I co-host a show, Living Japan, which is available on iTunes. So, you know, while you're subscribing to this show and hopefully rating and reviewing it, you can also check out Living Japan and, you know, rate and review that show too. Oh, and by the way, this show, Comics League International, has a Facebook page now. So if you want, go ahead and like that page, drop a line, send a comment. I'd love to get some feedback, you know, good or bad. Don't make me cry, because it'll just really spoil the next episode to have me crying the whole time. But I would love to hear back from some folks. And you know what would also be awesome? If you know of anyone who likes comics, is looking for podcasts to listen to, and just likes to hear two people from, you know, talk about issues that they either love or are looking more about, let them know. Check out Comics League International.
We talk about issues about issues. By the way, just a thing for me, like, I found on iTunes you can find some of the Ninja Turtles stuff for free, like some of the first issues. I don't think this one, and I've been looking in the American store, not the Japan store, and so it might, you know, depend on region, but also have a look there. I think you can get some of the issues for free, like the first issues and stuff, so have a look.
Check that out. And tune in same turtle time, same turtle channel subscription for Comics League International.
You can use your iTurtle.
That'd be turtle-tastic.
Cowabunga. We only say cowabunga twice this whole time. You have to say it once. Come on.
Cowabunga.
Thank you.
One of the best jokes from the original movie is when they're all coming out, it's like, cowabunga, tubular, bossa nova. And then they all look like, Chevy Nova? I love it.
Nice.
Until next time, cowabunga, dudes.